I'm on with Michael Chief, who has just come out of semi-retirement to release a brand new book on seduction called Never Lonely. Mike goes way back towards near the origins of the seduction community. He got into the community back in 2003, back when he was still a teenager, one of the early guys to jump in. And he's got a bunch of things he's known for. So he's known for getting good at dating, seduction, attraction as an introvert, as a short guy, as an Asian guy who lived mostly in the U.S. He's known for being able to approach without making it feel like approaching. He actually uses community leadership, both the experience and the status of being a leader in the pickup community, to become more masculine and attractive with more of the women that he's talking to. He's known for talking about polyamory, which has been a hot topic for, I guess, the past decade or so, but wasn't as known before then. He talks a lot about consent, which is a hot topic right now, and also about using feminism to disarm ASD, anti-slut defense. So let's jump into this. So Mike, welcome to the interview.
Thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah. So tell me about your background. How'd you get your start?
Yeah, like you said, thanks for the great intro. I started all the way back in 2003. And I guess the only thing I'll add here is that a lot of the older community members, they might know me for being the former head moderator of what was one of the biggest pickup artist forums back in the day, now defunct. I was also a moderator for Vindicarlo's forum back when it still existed. So I was mostly doing stuff online like that, but I was also briefly the layer leader of the PUA layer in New Orleans, a little bit before 2010, I want to say. And I've been a dating coach for men ever since. I started liking girls at a really young age, right? So I remember having a crush on a girl when I was in maybe the first or second grade. And I guess I was just really drawn to feminine energy, or maybe just even the idea of the feminine, like, ever since. But I was always shy, so I never really got any female attention. And it was around early middle school when I decided to ask my mom for some advice. I asked her why she loves my dad and how he got her to love him. And she told me something along the lines of, he told me that I was the only woman he loved, the only woman he could ever love. So this made me think that I had to profess my undying love, or what I thought was love, to every girl I had any interest in. And so I was desperate and needy and trying to be the nice guy all the time. Of course, this never worked. I was persistent, but I kept getting rejected over and over again, all during my formative years, which eventually made me super depressed. So I was actually depressed enough to try some things I probably shouldn't talk about here. But what made it even harder was that I was too ashamed to admit to adults that I was having all these emotional problems because I couldn't get girls. I know it sounds ridiculous. And the truth is, I thought I was unworthy of love. I thought I was worthless. I thought girls would always reject me because I'm short, ugly, Asian, or whatever characteristic I couldn't control. I was basically an incel before incels were a thing. And I had all the messed up mental crap that came with it. But around 2003, I found some seduction community material online. And I wasn't even looking for it. It was an ad for Double Your Dating by David D'Angelo. And that became my Bible. It blew my mind that I could actually learn some skills that could help me get girls, and that could actually help me find love. Of course, I had to get attraction first before getting love, right? And ever since then, I've obsessively soaked up everything, tried everything, and after 20 years, I can confidently say now that I have a lot of love in my life, and I'm never lonely.
Yeah, I remember those Double Your Dating ads. Those were the first thing I saw related to seduction, too. I actually had the Double Your Dating stuff downloaded on LimeWire back before I knew anything about the seduction community, and I kind of looked through some of it, and then I was like, that would never work, and went back to sucking with women for a few more years.
To tell you the truth, I pirated that stuff, too. But I was just a kid.
I guess a lot of us did. In a similar boat, I think a lot of guys go through that thing as teenagers, where you're just screwing up with girls. Of course, you get the guys that are the jocks and the guys that are the naturals when they're young and they're just awash in pussy or what have you. And some of those guys continue on when they get older, and some of those guys just fall apart when they get older too.
Yeah, I recently read this book called Men Who Hate Women. And like, there was a feminist writer talking about how the PUA community, they kind of trick young boys into thinking that you need some kind of psychological hacks to get girls. And she's saying that for a lot of these young men, it's like a rite of passage that just kind of passes as you get mature, and you're going to have less romantic problems as you get older. But I was thinking, no, for a lot of us, these problems are really persistent, and they actually do need help from resources like us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is probably different between you and me, but I almost never talk about this stuff with women. But when I do, the reaction a lot of times is women are like, guys don't need that. Like, guys are fine. Like, they just follow their instincts. And because what's happening is, and you see the same thing from the men's side, because men and women don't get the full picture. The men that women are dealing with are guys that know what to do with girls. Because if they didn't know what to do with girls, they wouldn't be approaching. They wouldn't be asking these girls out on dates. So they're guilty of selection bias, where they're getting a sampling of men, but the sampling they're getting is guys that have got it all figured out. Or guys that have got it figured out enough that they can at least get dates, get in front of these women. And then the same thing happens with, you know, you see a lot of angry guys online, and they're like, oh, women have it so easy, blah, blah, blah. And they're doing the same thing. Like, the women that they see, they've got selection bias going on there. But yeah, a lot of guys need this stuff a lot more than realize it, unfortunately. So in the intro, we talked about you being short, introverted Asian. And I just want to say that you are not the only short, introverted Asian playboy in the U.S. that I've known. I've had a couple of friends, and some of them are pretty good. But what was your experience like? I mean, you talked about it when you were younger, but did you find it to be these things that you're listing out as qualities that would distinguish you? Are they handicaps, being short, Asian, introverted in the U.S., or were they not really handicaps?
So being short, by the way, I'm about 5'5", not even 170 centimeters tall. Being short, being introverted, being Asian. So all those things have definitely proven to be handicaps in the United States for me. Not just for me, but for anyone else who shares those characteristics. But in a strange way, I feel grateful to have these handicaps, if you know what I mean. They made me who I am today. Like, you know that Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue?
I've heard it.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, in that song, A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash, the story is basically this boy, he gets named Sue, which is a woman's name in the U.S., by his father. And his father just leaves to go buy some milk and never comes back. And throughout his whole life, this boy, he gets bullied because he has a woman's name. And because he gets bullied, he gets angry and he toughens up and he turns into like such a macho guy. And he resolves to find his father to get revenge, right? And in the end, after all this long journey that he went through, he finds his father and he puts a gun to his head. And he's like, you named me Sue. And the father's like, son, I'm so proud of you, the man you become, you've toughened up. I couldn't be there for you for whatever reason, and I named you Sue so that you can become stronger. And so it was kind of a it's kind of a beautiful message at the end, right? So what I got from that, and also from my experiences, is that our adversities define us. Hardship builds character. I honestly think that if I were tall, white, and handsome, my game would not be as good as it is today. And I think that I would probably be a less interesting person overall, in my opinion. Now, that's not to say that all tall white men are boring or anything like that. What I'm saying is that if you embrace the challenges and hardships that you face in life, if you work to overcome the obstacles in front of you instead of just giving in to learned helplessness and self-victimization, you're going to turn yourself into one hell of a masculine man. And that's going to be super attractive to women. However, I do want to say some specific things about being short, being introverted, and being Asian, because there's a lot of unique challenges that come with that territory. In terms of being short, first things first, if you're a short guy, you have to hit the gym. We short dudes have this genetic advantage of being able to build muscle in an aesthetically pleasing way faster than tall guys. And also, talk to enough women and you'll find that your height is a non-issue the majority of the time. Even if they say they prefer taller dudes, which they almost always do, you can still seduce and date most of them. And in terms of being introverted, I have so much to say about this that it's hard to pick out the most important points. But I do want to say that I might not come off as an introvert, but I am. I'm just super passionate about this topic and could ramble all day about it. And just off the top of my head, let me tell you the story about time I went clubbing with two well-known pickup artists named Adam Lyons and Richard LaRuina. I was kind of working for POA training at the time, and I was helping out with one workshop and one boot camp, I mean. And as we all went to the club, I decided to kind of sit back and observe Adam Lyons and Richard LaRuina, like how they do game. And Adam Lyons is like the most introverted guy I've ever seen in my entire life. So he was like bouncing around sets, showing all the clients like every kind of opener and just getting all the attention and eyeballs. But Richard just disappeared. Richard just disappeared. I didn't know where he went. So my eyes were on Adam, everyone's eyes were on Adam, and Richard was just like kind of a ninja in the background who we don't know where he went. But as I'm talking to like one of my wingmen or like one of the other coaches, all of a sudden out of nowhere, just Richard just pops up and he's got these two gorgeous women with him and he's like, hey, I'm back. And he just like hands off the women to us and he just disappears again. So it was then I realized, like, no matter where you are, even if you're in a loud club, there's an extroverted way to do things successfully, and there's an introverted way to do things successfully, too. And in terms of being Asian, so in the American psyche, being Asian is stereotypically seen as less masculine. That's just the reality of it. So the two groups that probably have the hardest time with dating in the US are Asian men and black women. And that's because Asian men are seen as less masculine and black women are seen as less feminine. It's all stereotypes, right? However, like I say in my book, you can be even more attractive if you leverage contrast. If I present myself in a clearly masculine way, the supposed feminine impression that me being Asian gives will actually make my masculine presentation more masculine.
Yeah, and just listening to you, you can hear the masculinity coming through in your voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
The way you speak, you know, you got a deep voice, you take pauses at the right times, you're not in a rush, you're not hurrying. It's a thing that you'll see with some guys that are new in the space. They'll be trying to rush everything out as fast as possible because they don't want to get cut off. They go up to talk to a girl and they're just...
I actually thought I was rushing this entire time because like I'm a little nervous about this interview. I want to give a good impression to your audience.
I think you're doing a good job of that.
Thank you so much.
And you know, I had a few comments on you. You covered a lot of really great stuff there. And just to add in some of my own thoughts, you know, we were talking about Richard and Adam. Adam is the extroverted guy and Richard just going off and coming back. And he's got a couple of hot girls with him. For a while, I was doing boot camps in San Diego with a very extroverted, outgoing party guy like Adam. And he would go out and he'd get this big circle of girls and they'd all be jumping up and down really excited. And we would take clients out and first they'd be really wild with everything that my partner was getting going on with all these girls. They'd be going crazy and they'd be like, wow, he's so good. But then at the end of the night, the guy that was getting girls into these deep conversations or pulling girls out of the club was me. And so after a couple of sessions, the guys would start to figure that out. And they'd be like, it's really cool the stuff that he's doing, but can you teach me how to get these girls to leave the club with me the way that you're doing? And we realized that there's a different strategy where one is getting a lot of attention and the other one is focused on achieving that result where you got the connection going on and you're pulling the girl out of there. And in that way, introverts have an advantage because the extrovert, you know, his thing is he's got to stop himself from bouncing around from girl to girl and being too entertaining to get a seductive vibe going on.
Yeah, totally.
So you're working with POA training before, so I'd be curious about your experiences coaching. Have you had mostly Asian clients, short guy clients, introverts, or has it just been a mix of different guys? Do guys with some traits have it harder than other guys? What's been your experience working with students?
In terms of Asian versus non-Asian, it's been about half and half, and I think that's just a coincidence. So I don't go out of my way to market myself as an Asian dating coach specifically, even though I do mention it in passing here and there. If people pay attention, they know I'm Asian, but a lot of community members have just assumed I'm white because that's just kind of the default, you know. I probably do get a slightly higher proportion of Asian clients compared to most other dating coaches, though, since the ones who reach out to me do so because they feel like we have something in common, right? In terms of like the height, though, what's interesting to note, I think, pretty much every client I've had has been about my height or taller. It's not a surprise since I'm actually below average height. But it's interesting to see guys who are taller than me dealing with insecurities about their height, even if they're taller than most women. It does help them to know that I'm shorter than them and I still get success, so I guess that's been helpful for them. And like I said, guys with these traits, they do have it harder. But being short, introverted, or Asian, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to their mindset. Bad inner game holds them back a million times more than anything else. It's almost like being short, introverted, or Asian is negligible. Once they realize that, though, and really put themselves out there, they often find that the principle of contrast kicks in, and all of a sudden, they get some really great results really fast. It's like they approach a girl confidently, and she's thinking, why is this guy so smooth and confident even when he's this short? And it makes them, like, kind of more curious and more interested sometimes. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You know, one of my buddies in San Diego who was Asian and short, I think shorter than you were, he's probably 5'3 or 5'4.
Wow.
But not introverted. He's kind of the opposite in that he was not aware of these things as handicaps until he'd been picking up girls for a while and somebody started talking to him about like, oh, is it hard because you're Asian or you're short? Like, I have such a hard time because I'm Asian. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he just doesn't want to think about it or talk about it because he's like, that's like a limiting belief. I don't want to hear about it or think about it because if I think about it, he's afraid it's going to like poison his thoughts. He's like, I don't need to think about that stuff. I just go up to talk to girls and everything goes fine. You know, sure, there's some sort of objective quality to it, but so much more of it is subjective. Like if you're not worried about things, it's hard for them to impact you.
Yeah, that sounds like a totally valid strategy. I kind of took the opposite way by kind of embracing it. And so sometimes I use a little bit of self-deprecating humor, like, oh, so I'm Asian, I make these kind of self-racist jokes. And like, oh, I'm short, so I kind of call myself a Christmas elf or whatever. But like, I'm still doing it confidently, where it's clear to the women that I just don't give a shit, you know. Or I don't give a crap, if I'm not allowed to swear.
Yeah, so you're just owning it.
But yeah, your friend's strategy, I think that's totally valid as well. You could just go either way.
Yeah. The important part is whichever way you're going, I hate to use the word confident because but that's what it is. It's confidence, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's the frame that you're setting. So tell me about approaching without making it feel like approaching, which is one of the things that you're known for.
Yeah. So this is one of the many, many things. Well, I guess like every concept that I teach, I can't take full credit because, you know, everything is from something else, right? So back in the day, I did some collaboration with a pickup artist named 60 Years of Challenge. You probably heard of him. I think a lot of community guys heard of him. And
yeah, sure. You should talk to him back in the day.
Yeah, nice. Oh, me too. I have him on Skype. He's probably one of our shared contacts. And he had this concept called social momentum, and I think he put it so nicely. And basically, for those of you who are listening and don't know this concept, social momentum is basically listening to your social impulses so that whenever you find yourself in a situation where you think you might be able to interject socially or say hello to someone, you're going to have one side of you saying, hey, yeah, go ahead and do that. But another side of you saying, don't bother them. And if you just listen to that first side and just do all the small social things that your brain tells you that you can kind of do, it builds up what's called social momentum. So for example, if you're on your way to the bar and you pass by someone who looks like they're having fun and you give them a high five, right? Or you pass by someone who's wearing something cool and you want to give them a compliment, you just give them a compliment and you just keep going. And eventually, if you listen to those social impulses and build that social momentum, you'll often find yourself in conversations with random people and you're like thinking, I don't know how I got here. And sometimes you'll realize in the middle of a conversation, hey, this is a woman that I'm attracted to. And like you didn't even realize it. So in that way, you can approach without feeling like you're approaching and they don't know you're approaching either. And so I kind of took this concept and the way that I kind of made it my own is that if I'm in a bar or club or any place where I go out to meet women, I do something that I call planting seeds, right? And I bet a lot of other people do this and they probably call it something else. But what it basically involves is I am approaching or opening. Of course, by this point, it doesn't feel like approaching. Like I could just say something to somebody in passing. If I'm walking to the bar, I see a girl with cool earrings. I say cool earrings. She says thanks or whatever, but I just keep walking. And I do this with like as many sets as possible, right? But I'm not staying in there. I'm not trying to like pick anyone up. I'm just kind of doing these random compliments, random hellos. And if I reopen them, it kind of feels like they already know who I am. I already know who they are. So it's like not a cold approach at that point. And so if you take that sort of approach by utilizing social momentum, approaching will not feel like approaching.
So I've heard that called shotgun opening. But yeah, it's a great concept. And it allows you to just meet girls without the pressure of that initial approach. Once you're circling back again, reopening, much smoother way of getting into it.
Yeah, so like these days, I really can't say like, how many approaches did I do? Like, I don't know, zero?
So you're mostly doing social venues, I assume. Nightlife, parties, things like that. A little harder to do that with street game, for instance. So one thing we talked about earlier, you know, with this whole seduction stuff. Personally, this is something that I try and avoid talking about with people in general as much as possible. It's like, I just treat it like I'm in the mafia. You know, there's this area of my life that it's better if you don't know about, but you are the opposite. So you will talk about this with women. You wear it kind of as a feather in your cap. Can you talk about how you use that and how you leverage it for attraction?
So all of this PUA stuff is a core part of who I am. I made myself into a seducer over the course of 2 decades. I believe that the best way to attract women must involve authentic expression. If I show women who I really am, that is fundamentally going to involve letting them know my greatest passion, which is women. When I tell women about this stuff, I'm not ashamed. I don't see pickup artistry as trickery or coercion or manipulation. And I'm proud of the fact that I've earned these skills that I practiced over years and years. Also, not many women have the chance to talk to a man who can talk about a potentially taboo passion with an unapologetic enthusiasm. It's oftentimes very alluring. It piques their curiosity. I also noticed that it makes some women assume that I'm very sexually experienced, since it gives me an air of sexual confidence. So not only does this make them more attracted to me because women are just more attracted to men who know what they're doing, and it makes them think that I'm probably more likely to give them an orgasm, it also activates preselection. So all in all, I don't see the downside of letting women know that I'm a dating coach who studied and practiced seduction. If they assume that I'm one of those misogynistic red pill PUAs who try to trick women or bypass consent in any way, they'd be wrong, and I'd be able to explain. And if they judge me for the wrong reasons, I don't care. I can just move on and find someone who does understand.
So you bring up the idea of consent or objections, misogyny. And one of the things you talk about, several of the things you talk about polyamory, consent, feminism, sort of some hot topics in this modern progressive era. So can you tell me how you use these to your advantage and how they work into your overall seduction strategy?
Oh yeah, I knew you were going to ask me about this. Specifically, feminism. I'll hone in on that one, because that seems to be the most controversial one. But to preface that, I want to say that I am a student of psychology at heart, and one thing I've always been fascinated with is how changing something psychologically will affect the results you get in the outside world. In the PUA community, that translates to inner game, basically. If you change something about your inner game, that's going to affect how you naturally express yourself and the vibe you give off, which affects how women feel around you. And inner game is all about beliefs, attitudes, perspectives, etc. And I'm also a huge fan of our community's lesson about pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. And it made me habitually challenge myself to confront things that I didn't understand or things that I didn't like. If I thought something was scary or would make me uncomfortable, I made a habit of going for that thing. So one day I sat down and thought, what would happen if I looked into feminism? I was against the idea of feminism at first because the manosphere brainwashed me into believing that men were more oppressed than women, that I was more of a victim than women were. But pickup artistry taught me to stop seeing myself as a victim and to instead seek personal solutions, which I guess made it easier for me to be open to exploring what feminism actually was. And more than anything else, though, it was an experiment at first. I wanted to see if I could change my mind about some things, agree with some feminist ideas, express those feminist thoughts in my own words to women, and see if that would make it easier for women to feel more attracted to me and more comfortable around me. And as for my results, of course it helped. And I see a lot of other very successful PUAs doing the same thing, especially when it comes to sexual framing. So expressing feminist thought in the context of sex positivity is super effective, and I see dudes like Alec Rolstad doing it all the time too, even if he doesn't use the same labels. For example, if you truly believe that it's unfair and unjust how society shames women for having sex while praising men for doing the same, and you tell that to women, that's going to lower anti-slut defense. That's going to make them feel like it's safe to have sex with you. And if you express any other similar feminist thoughts about social justice or anything like that, even if it has nothing to do with sexual framing, she's going to feel more comfortable and open to show you her true self because you're going to make her feel safe.
That's very cool. And so along those lines, we also had the topic of consent. Is that basically the same thing as feminism, or is that a separate concept that you go into?
So of course it has huge ties to it, right? And you could say that if you express thoughts about proper consent, it's the same as kind of expressing feminism, yeah. Specifically, though, the Me Too movement, it kind of killed our industry. Some of us might be bitter about that, but I actually learned a lot from that. Since my priority is love and I love women, I truly want to make this world a safer place for women, which is why I, you know, really got into caring about this topic, and which is why I dedicate one chapter of my book, probably the longest chapter of my book, to consent and like how to follow that, how to navigate that. And so if I talk about that with women, that also makes them feel more comfortable around me. And yeah, I think it does increase my success rate as well.
Awesome. And can you talk to me a little bit about polyamory and how you can either tell me about how you're setting those relationships up or tell me about how you're using that in your seduction process? Does it help you with seducing women?
You know how leadership and masculinity are really, really connected, right?
Of course.
So I became the leader of my local polyamory community inadvertently, because when I moved around here, I was looking for a group like this. It didn't exist, so I just made it because I just wanted to be part of that community. And from practicing leadership, not only does it make my relationships richer and more satisfying, it makes you just more attractive overall based on just the habits that you take on from leadership, as well as the status you get from being a leader and people looking up to you, right? So the polyamory community, I know I'm not directly answering your question yet, which was about polyamory, but I'm talking about community leadership. Through being the leader of a community, you will become more masculine. So I totally recommend anyone listening in to, you know, take up leadership positions as much as possible. Like, it's one of the most important things I think you can do to be your most attractive self. And to go back to your question about polyamory itself, it makes it harder to get women. It totally makes it harder to get women, because if you're a polyamorous man who is attracted to women, you're competing with men who are not polyamorous for women who are probably also not polyamorous yet. And so it lowers my success rate, because if I tell women I'm poly, some of them will be like, I am totally not poly. That's not what I'm looking for. And then, you know, I can't go anywhere from there, which is fine, though, because they're not what I'm looking for either. I'm prioritizing the lifestyle I want to build over just getting laid, because I've had enough sex already. And what a lot of these poly guys don't realize is that they have to step up their seduction game if they want any chance, right? So while it has made it harder on the kind of lead capture end, it's honestly made me happier overall, because I have the types of relationships that I want. And because polyamory is all about being honest with people also and making sure that everyone understands the kinds of relationships that you have and what you're looking for, I'm never hiding anything. I can just live freely and be myself.
So out of curiosity, why do you choose to say I'm polyamorous instead of saying something like, well, you know, I'm not looking for a serious relationship right now?
First of all, if something evolves into a serious relationship, that's absolutely something that I would be looking for. I am polyamorous philosophically and everything. I call myself polyamorous because the definition of polyamory is the capacity to love multiple people at the same time, romantic love, right? And also to practice, you know, open communication about that. And that philosophy really vibes with me, because when I was trying to be monogamous, and I was in monogamous relationships, I kind of felt like society was making me feel guilty because I still had feelings and love for other women as well. And they kind of made me question, like, is this real love? And people would look at that and say, that's not true love. And that kind of cheapens what I was actually feeling. What I was feeling was actually love. I loved the girlfriends I had at the time, but it didn't mean that I loved them any less if I was attracted to other people or even if I loved other people. And it was because of that I realized, hey, this thing called polyamory might be the way that I need to go. Now, I know that's not for everyone. Some people want to be monogamous, and some people want to stay single for life and not have serious relationships and just want to get laid. That's fine. I've been through all those stages too. But as I got older, I realized, you know, this love thing was the whole reason I got into pickup in the first place. And that's, I wanted an abundance of love. And polyamory is where I found it.
It's interesting. It makes sense. So out of curiosity, if someone wants to join your polyamory group, do all the women have to sleep with you as sort of a rite of passage?
No, I'm not a cult leader. So actually, in my local poly group where I'm the leader, I try hard to not sleep with the members. Because I actually want to build like a friendly community without any drama. And I mostly sleep with women who are not within my community, but like random women I find outside the community who are not yet poly. And if I find the potential for them to be poly, I can seduce them into polyamory. And then I can invite them into my group if they are like cool enough to be in our group. But my group itself is not my feeding grounds.
Awesome. It's very responsible. So finally, let's talk about your book, Never Lonely. So what is it about? Who is it for? Who should get it? What benefits are they going to get out of reading? Whatever you want to tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for this question. So my book's title is Never Lonely, The Uncensored Guide on How to Attract and Be Loved by Women. And it's called Never Lonely because when I was starting out, loneliness was pretty much the source of all my suffering. And when I finally figured all this stuff out and met so many women and experienced love so many times, I got to a point of real abundance. And I'm so happy with my love life, dating life, sex life, or whatever you want to call it, because now I'm never lonely. Of course, since I'm an introvert, there's lots of times I want to be alone, but being alone and being lonely aren't the same thing. I'm pretty much just never alone when I don't want to be alone, and that's what matters. It's something I've gotten under control. It's a choice for me. And I wrote this book so that others can also escape that pain of loneliness and make it a choice for themselves as well. The most flattering reviews I've gotten so far say that my book is similar to Zan Perrion's The Alabaster Girl, but that mine is kind of more practical while Zan's is more flowery. And it was a huge honor to hear that kind of comparison because I reference The Alabaster Girl a lot in my own book, and Zan Perrion is one of my biggest influences philosophically. I love his romantic approach. So love is the most important thing in the world to me. I got into all this because I wanted love. PUA material teaches you how to get laid, sometimes at the expense of love. So if you're the type of guy, whoever's listening, if you're the type of guy who also prioritizes love and recognizes that some PUA stuff or red pill stuff teaches things at the expense of love, I think Never Lonely is the book for you. Of course, my book teaches you how to get laid too, and I break it down into 5 very simple seduction steps. But what I think differentiates my book from the others is that it helps you find a real connection with women from a position of authenticity, depth, respect, and masculine vulnerability.
That's fascinating. I can tell from talking to you and from even just the title of your book, the emotional aspect of the relationship is very important to what you're going for and what you teach. And that's not always present in the seduction community. So it's interesting to hear that perspective. So let me also ask you before we wrap up, do you still do coaching or are you still involved in the business side of things? When I go to your website now, which was Chief PUA, I believe, chiefpua.com, now it redirects to the book. So have you just shut down everything other than the book or are you still involved in working with guys individually? What are you doing on that side of things?
Yeah, so when I started to dive deeper into this whole polyamory thing, I kind of stepped away from PUA to kind of obsessively study it. So I've been away from the community for a while, but I'm back. And the coaching I do, I've been doing some coaching here and there, little by little. The coaching I do has mostly been from word of mouth referrals or guys who put in a lot of effort to track me down somehow. And I've always wanted to help more guys though. So I totally want to coach anyone who reads my book and resonates with my material. So my schedule is open for more clients, and it doesn't matter if they're short like me or Asian like me or introverted like me or anything like that. What matters is that they resonate with my philosophy of love being super important and that we should always push ourselves past our comfort zones. So if that resonates with you, please reach out. My email address is already in the book, but if anyone listening to this is interested in reaching out to discuss coaching, they can email me at mike@neverlonelybook.com.
All right. Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming on today, and it's great seeing you active again in the community after some time away. It's a great book. I had a chance to review it before it came out, and you got a lot of really solid concepts in there and a lot of stuff that other guys have not covered in this space, particularly some of the stuff about, you know, some of the modern dating environment things. A lot of guys are paranoid now about, am I going to get charged with harassment? Am I going to run into all these accusations? And you cover that in your book and you talk about avoiding ending up in these situations, how you should be behaving, what you should be doing so that you can still get the girl without having to deal with these hurdles and obstacles. So it's a great book. I recommend guys get it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, been great having you, man.
Thank you.